Good morning, all. Bear with me on this. I went from the pew bulletin last week and it was only verses 1 to 6, and I've been practicing that. Now I find it's to 15, so you'll need to bear with me. This Bible reading is headed Paul and the False Apostles. I wish you would bear with me in a little foolishness. Do bear with me, for I feel a divine jealousy for you, since I betrothed you to one husband, to present you as a pure virgin to Christ. But I'm afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve with his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if anyone comes and proclaims another Jesus than the one we proclaimed, or if you receive a different spirit from the one you received, or if you accept a different gospel to the one you accepted, you put up with it readily enough. Indeed, I consider that I am not in the least inferior to these super apostles, even if I am unskilled in speaking. I am not so in knowledge. Indeed, in every way, we have made this plain to you in all things. Or did I commit a sin in humbling myself so that you might be exalted? Because I preached God's gospel to you free of charge. I robbed other churches by accepting support from them in order to serve you. And when I was with you, I did not burden anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia supplied my need. So I refrained and will refrain from burdening you in any way, as the truth of Christ is in me. This boasting of mine will not be silenced in the region of Achaia. And why? Because I do not love you. God knows. And why? Because I do not love you. God knows I do. And what I am doing, I will continue to do, in order to determine and claim to those who would like to claim that in their boasting mission, their work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Here ends the reading.
It's actually an interesting illustration comes out of that song we just sang. I just speak the name of Jesus. I actually like the song. And I think it's got an important message. But a few months ago, they had a public meeting about the crime in town and the stolen cars and people. And one bloke got up and said, "They just need Jesus." And I cringed. He's speaking the name of Jesus. And then he went on to say the next things he said, because we need to rebuild the cricket down at Cherbourg. We need to build the pool at Cherbourg for them, and we need to take them on free bus trips to Noosa. And I thought, that's not what we mean by speaking the name of Jesus. People want to use Jesus for all sorts of things. People use his name. Truth isn't always out there. This one struck me as quite funny, but How major news outlets are reporting the death of the Ayatollah? It's a bit hard to read, but first one. Trump strikes Iran in a perfectly executed military operation. Next one. Beloved statesman, grandfather goes before his time. All earth bows before he who rescues us from oppression, dear glorious Trump. Oh my God. Death of Khamenei could spell disaster for Iran's trans population. Iranians mostly mourning the Ayatollah's death. I won't read them all, but down the bottom there's one. Trump's military straight up smoked Iran and the libs are crying. And Al Jazeera was, wah! Same things happen. We get so many takes on it. What do we do with it? The Bible, absolutely, I totally, utterly believe the Bible is the truth. It is God's written word and he's put down, but my goodness, you hear some questionable things said from it and about it. This one popped up on my phone this morning. If your theology justifies bombing nations in the Middle East but ignores Jesus' commands to love, protect, and care for the most vulnerable, something has gone terribly wrong. Now, that came from a friend who is a little to the left of me, a lot. And my thought in response was, if your ideology doesn't stand against terrorists, but happily endorses killing unborn babies, something's not right. You can put up statements like that. I honestly don't know what to think about the bombing of Iran. There's some good things about it. I'm not really mourning the Ayatollah. I do feel sad for the people of Iran. I don't know who will replace him and whether it will be better or worse. That's all the struggle of it. Ignores Jesus' commands to love, protect, and care for the most vulnerable. What about those vulnerable in Iran? How do I love and protect them? Yes, I want to, and I'm not ignoring that, but how to do it best is not simple. If I was to pick on Chris for a moment, you're in an organization that is genuinely trying to care for the needy, aren't you? So it's just simple. You know exactly what to do in every situation, and it's clear, and you've got all the resources for it. No? No. It's complicated. So that, when that thing came up, I thought, Paul is talking here about false teachers, about people want to use the gospel to push a particular line. I felt that person, whoever wrote that, was doing that. Legalism or license? Yes, there are some churches that get legalistic. There are some people and teachers who get so legalistic about things. Jesus had this problem called the Pharisees. But then there are some places where they'll let anything go. That's not of Jesus. He spoke and said we need to balance truth and love. Anyone found that simple in every situation? Heck no. God calls us to righteousness, but he gives us freedom. Where do they balance? It's not simple. The individual, the church, and the state have different roles. What are those roles? When it's speaking as an individual, what am I meant to do? What am I meant to ask my state to do? And what's the church meant to do? When our comes to biblical teaching, it's not the same in each of those situations. Grace and generosity. Yes, God calls us to that, but he doesn't want us to create entitlement. Beware of false teachers. But just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunnings, your minds may somehow be led astray by those that are wrong. That's something we've got to seek to discern. Apparently. I'm going to push a button and see whether the next thing comes up, please, die. Oh. It's missing a bit. I did have a picture in there that said things like media, news, computers. The information input we get all the time is so vast. And even if we chuck out all the stuff that's not trying to teach us something about the Bible, it's still a vast amount. And there's false teachers back then and there are now. How do we discern when it is of God and when it's good? That's our prayer. Oh, there, it does come up. Listening to the voice of God. So my prayer this morning, Lord, help us as we look into your word to be encouraged in our discernment of what you are speaking to us, to look for you. And in the voices that are so many out there, and many of them are still telling us how we should interpret the Bible. Lord, help us to get some things, to get in our heart, in our spirit, in our minds, to use them to really glorify you. And may what we hear this morning help us on our journey of getting right and hearing what you're saying, not a corruption. In Jesus' name. So the first thing is, this is primarily about teaching God's word. The discernment principles we're talking about, I'm not here to decide whether Elbow's got it all right, or whether Netanyahu's got it all right, or any of those, or the news is all right. Some of them can apply, yes, but today we're thinking, when it comes to something someone tells you about God's word, or they're trying to tell you how to be a good Christian or whatever, this is to go, what is God saying? When politicians, media, and non-believers try to tell you how to be a good Christian. You ever had that? You're a Christian, you should be doing this. Or you should believe this. And hang on, do you believe that? Well, why are you telling me what I should believe? Because your interpretation of that may not be that great. The Bible is solid. How it is used is sometimes questionable. You ever heard someone quote the Bible in some way and tell you something and you're like, really? If you're trying to use the Bible to justify slavery, that happened. It wasn't right. If you're trying to use the Bible to justify abortion, that's not right. Some discernment principles. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached. So our first discernment principle is, who is the Jesus they're preaching? The more we know Jesus for real, the more easy we're going to spot when someone's trying to take us away. But the first thing is, it's the Jesus of the Bible. If someone tells you something about Jesus, and this is how you should do it, line that up with your reading of the Gospels. And the more you've read them, the more you know about Jesus, the more you know him, the more you go, hang on, maybe not. It's a broader picture than just your couple of favorite verses. Do not judge. Yes, it's in the Gospels. Or you too shall be judged, and by the same standard you judge as this is what you will be judged as. Oh, there's a bit more to that. You have to exercise judgment at times. So if they only pick a couple of verses and want to push those verses and not hold them in tension with some of the struggles we have on other things, they're probably not speaking the real Jesus. A Jesus that invites people to make a choice and allows them to make it and gives them responsibility for it. If they're trying to tell you, Jesus said you've got to, and there's no choice allowed, and it's not an invitation. be wary. Jesus gives people a choice, and then he says, you've got responsibility for what your choice is. Jesus teaches repentance, grace, and forgiveness. If the Jesus that they're teaching doesn't talk about repentance, doesn't say change your ways, doesn't say come to me and get help, it's not the Jesus, the Bible. Yes, he preaches grace. Yes, he's got mercy. Yes, he's got forgiveness. And it works after repentance. The Jesus who said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself, and all the law and prophets hang on these. The Jesus that said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He's saying, no, the law doesn't cut the mustard. It doesn't do it, but don't throw it out. It's not rubbish. It shows you that you can't. If you're seeking to love God and love your neighbor as yourself, six words, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the Jesus that comes. That's hard sometimes. If someone's telling you you've got to love this person, but it's going to cost that other person or cost you massively for a little, hang on, and they're not acknowledging that cost, that's not of God. Treat others as you would want to be treated. So the Jesus that we follow, the Jesus that we preach, handles that complexity, and we hang on to him for it. He hasn't done this for a while, gone funny on me. If you come with another spirit, but the spirit that we received. I like this little quote. The Holy Spirit doesn't just make you dance and speak in tongues. He also makes you shut up, apologize, and examine yourself. False teachers want to push something, varying things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, please don't get the marking card out and give me a 1 to 10 on every one of those and decide if I'm not above 9 and all of them sack me, because we're in strife. But if you can't honestly say, I know that our pastor is trying to grow in those areas, and that's there, then talk to the deacons. They might have to have a word to me. Okay? No, I haven't perfected that, but it's something I'm seeking. If that's not what they're preaching, if that's not what they're trying to live, that's not good. The Spirit will work on a person to bring repentance into them, not condemnation of others. That doesn't mean we don't speak against sin. But as Jesus said, I came to not to condemn the world, but to forgive. But that's to bring repentance. We'll empower the gifts of people to bring good to others. If they've really got the Holy Spirit, whatever their gifting will be used to help others lift them up. It'll make their lives better. We work on that. Peace will be in evidence. They'll bring a certain amount of peace about them. That'll reflect in them. Not peaceful all the time. Look, Daryl's our living example. How many times has he told us his testimony about God giving him a wonderful sense of peace? All right, we see it in your brother. But that doesn't mean we see you absolutely calm and peaceful all the time, especially with Dwight. Has he ever been a bit upset in the last 8 years about something? We don't expect that. But what we see in Daryl is God's peace. That's the sort of things we're looking for in a teacher. Or a different gospel from the one you accepted. Well, that's a bit hard to read, but I'm betting you can give it to me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel summed up. I'll give two other verses. But whoever believes, If I tell you, yeah, I believe that seat will hold me up and won't sit on it, my belief's worth nothing. If we believe in Jesus, we've got to believe what he said and work on it. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, is you're saying, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. He's Lord, I'm going to follow him. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said, Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call. Glad that's there because we're far off. But that gospel is repent and come to Jesus. So, if we're looking to define, someone's telling us about it, do we see that it's lining up with the Bible and the complexity of it? Do we see that it's, that person is speaking Jesus? Do we see the Holy Spirit alive and well and the fruit of the Spirit? Do we see them preaching that gospel? Was it a sin for me to lower myself in order to elevate you by preaching the gospel of God for you free of charge? You see, another thing that can be a hint about false teachers is their attitude to money. Are they money hungry? Are they chasing money or power? If they're not money focused. Paul wasn't money focused. He utilized it. He knew he needed some, but he said, look, it's not about the money, it's about the gospel. Generous of heart with their money. Love these people that are generous with someone else's money. That's a warning sign. Shows good stewardship. That means they utilize their money in healthy ways. Doesn't mean they have no one. You don't have to be poor to be a Christian. God has a special place for the poor. But if you've given your money, he wants you to use it well. Trusted channel to serve others. Paul was receiving money from somewhere else and he used it to serve the Corinthians. My brother Tim receives money so he can serve the Malawians. There's a time to use that. They're looking for the win-win. They're not wanting to go, you need to do this so that my life is better. They're looking to do things that will help others increase. And what it's a balance of them helping each other. Not an obvious product at your cost. Greatest money-making scheme ever come up with was called penances, indulgences. The priest would come along. Now, you know that your grandparents sinned or your parents sinned or your brother sinned and you know how terrible they are. Yep. Well, if you don't want them burning in hell forever, if you give me some money, I'll talk to God and we'll let him out. Oh, mate. Great money-making scheme because if your normal money-making scheme in this world, you've got to have a product and it costs you a certain amount to make that product and then you sell it at a profit, all right? How much does it cost you something in God's doing in heaven and hell? Nothing, so we get good money for that. That one was not of God. Give us this money and we will pray a blessing over you. Yeah, really? Be cautious of what people are wanting you to do with your money. I spoke a couple of weeks ago about giving. And I think I summed it up. Giving's not an option. That's a given that you're supposed to. The question is, where and when guided by God? And that's a journey you need to go on. I encourage you to be speaking to God about that. But when someone's money-focused and want the money to come to them, they're chasing power, that's not a good look. That's not an indicator that they're a good, healthy leader. The apostles, deceitful workers masquerading as apostles of Christ, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. The best lies are mostly truth. You ever heard of a sect called the Breatharians? They believed that you didn't need to eat or drink anything. You could get all the sustenance from the air you breathe. It didn't take off very well, and it doesn't last very well. Someone tried that, actually, in Martin Luther's time, and the prince went, "Really? Lock him in a cell. Don't feed him. Let's see what happens." They lasted a week because they'd stash stuff in their bags. Doesn't work. But Nabil Qureshi, who came out of Islam, says, in Islam we will believe almost everything the Bible says, except we do not believe that Jesus died on the cross, we do not believe he is God, and we do not believe he rose again. That's Islam. Almost everything else in Christianity they can agree with. Wow. But the core bits that are most necessary bits, that's what they'll fight over. They'll let go of. So, just because someone quotes the Bible and knows lots of it, the devil knows the Bible. How are they using it? Jesus and the Bible are not to be cherry-picked. So when you're... Actually, my dad tells this story, the J-Dubs came to Barunga where we were living, and they came to start visiting, and they came to the first house, which happened to be one of the church leaders. And they said to her, "Look, you know, the Bible says this, and you read this passage verse, and then you turn over here," and she goes, hey, stop that, you fella. My pastor been teaching me. You don't read that little bit, you read the whole bit. The bit before, the bit the middle, and the bit after. And if it all makes sense, then you had it. You're not reading that book properly. Oh, we're sorry. Here, would you like to read a literature? Oh, literature. You got any more of that? Yeah, here. Oh, good. Went and threw it straight in the incinerator. You might be speaking rubbish. We don't cherry pick bits. My goodness. I'm sure every one of you have got bits of the Bible that you struggle to like. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face trial of many kinds. Anyone's favorite verse? But I'm glad it's there. We've got to hold those bits in tension. Practice what you preach. It's the biggest thing. You've got to see the person who's teaching genuinely trying to live it out. So many things I see on the media. Someone wants to get on and say these things. You should be doing this, and you're going, hang on, you're not. Oh, we should be opening our borders. We should be taking in more refugees. Oh, how many people have you got living in your house? We should have open borders, no locks on them. Oh, so you haven't got a locked house. Truth and transparency. If they're hiding lots of stuff, what are they hiding? One of the biggest ways to know whether someone's false or not is the more when they say things that line up with what you know is true. Yeah. But when they want to push things that you just can't believe, that's a warning sign. Discussion and free to differ. If someone's telling you, you've got to do it this way, and someone is genuinely asking questions and struggling, but you go, no, and get upset at them, that's a warning sign. A friend of mine in a church, he was a pastor, and there was a person in this church that really got upset at another person in their church because They were struggling to decide whether there was a short earth, young earth creation or an old earth creation. They absolutely believed God created it, absolutely believed that he did it, and all of those things, but they didn't know, weren't sure it was 6,000 years ago or whether it was over a long time frame. And this one person wanted to go, nope, if you don't believe it 6,000 years ago, we're kicking you out of the church. And I'm like, how sad is that? They believe the important things. Don't shut someone down when they're genuinely trying to discover. Prayerfully seek the Spirit's guidance. If you're not sure about what you're hearing on some preacher you heard on TV or a guest speaker, or actually, if something I say, you go, oh, pray about it. Seek the Spirit's guidance. And if you're still not sure, come and talk to me. But if someone doesn't accept those things, check the money and the power. What do they do with their money? No, you don't get to audit my books. But you get to watch my life. So, when it comes to deciding what you listen to, I've got to listen to this myself. If you pick this thing up, I think actually it's, I put it in here. Oh, this one. I went on a line to check the weather. 5 hours later, I'm watching a tutorial on how to weave baskets out of carrots. Anyone else here ever got picked up their phone to check something and may not be 5 hours, but quite a few minutes later, you've looked at six other things, and some of them are good, some of them are godly people trying to put. You have lots of information coming in. Discerning what's really of God is look to Jesus, look to the Bible, look to the Holy Spirit, and hang on to what God wants you to do in the complexities of it. He's weaving a path through it for each of us. So if we finish, I thought this was a good way to put it. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives liberally to all. There's a lot of talk about wisdom in the Bible. We wouldn't need wisdom if it was all simple, every situation. It could be lined out. But we need wisdom from God as to what to do in each particular situation. And there are people out there who will want to push you to do it their way for whatever reasons. I'd encourage us all to be looking to God and going, God, what do you want me to do? And how do you want me to reflect you in the places I am? Lord God, thank you that you've given us principles. Thank you that you've given us an example. Thank you that you've given us a solid Bible to stand on. Thank you that you've come by your Spirit. And when we're not sure, we can pray and ask you, and you will bring guidance at the right time. When we have a soft heart and a genuine heart towards you, help us to have that. Help us to reflect you, that wherever we are sharing something of you to others, we share that truth in love and tackle the real heart of people. So, Lord, help us to, as a church, as individuals, to reflect you in our community. In Jesus' name.